The second, machine age. Work, progress and prosperity in a time of brilliant technologies. Authors, Erik Brynjolfsson and Andrew McAfee. Playing catch up. The impact of digital technologies has been observed and studied for years, and we thought that we had a decent understanding of their capabilities and limitations, but over the past few years, they started surprising us. Computers started diagnosing diseases, listening and speaking to us, and writing high-quality prose, while robots started scurrying around warehouses and driving cars with minimal or no guidance. Digital technologies had been bad at a lot of these things for a long time, when they suddenly got very good. How did this happen? And what were the implications of this progress? Which was astonishing and yet came to be considered a matter of course. These questions led to three broad conclusions. The first conclusion is that we're living in a time of astonishing progress with digital technologies. Those that have our computer hardware, software, and networks at their core. Our second conclusion is that the transformations brought about by digital technology will be profoundly beneficial ones. Technology can bring us more choice and even freedom. Our third conclusion is less optimistic. Digitization is going to bring with it some thorny challenges. Rapid and accelerating digitization is likely to bring economic rather than environmental disruption, stemming from the fact that as computers get more powerful, companies have less need for some kinds of workers. Technological progress is going to leave behind some people, perhaps even a lot of people, as it races ahead. The new division of labor. This division is between human and digital labor, in other words, between people and computers. In any sensible economic system, people should focus on the tasks and jobs where they have comparative advantage over computers, leaving computers the work for which they were better suited. Today, few people, if any, are employed simply to do arithmetic and record the results. Even in the lowest wage countries, there are no human computers, because the non-human ones are far cheaper, faster, and more accurate. Computers are good at following rules, but lousy at pattern recognition. Try to put information processing tasks, the foundation of all knowledge work, on a spectrum. At one end, the tasks are like arithmetic that require only the application of well-understood rules. Since computers are really good at following rules, it follows that they should do arithmetic and similar tasks. For example, a mortgage rule might say, if a person is requesting a mortgage of amount M, and they have a credit score of V or higher, annual income greater than I, or total wealth greater than W, and total debt no greater than D, then approve the request. When expressing computer code, we call a mortgage rule like this an algorithm. Algorithms are simplifications. They can't and don't take everything into account. Algorithms do, however, include the most common and important things, and they generally work quite well at tasks like predicting payback rates. Computers, therefore, can and should be used for mortgage approval. At the other end of the spectrum, however, lie information processing tasks that cannot be boiled down to rules or algorithms. These are tasks that draw on the human capacity for pattern recognition. Our brains are extraordinarily good at taking information in via our senses and examining it for patterns, but we're quite bad at describing or figuring out how we're doing it, especially when a large volume of fast-changing information arrives at a rapid speed. When this is the case, tasks can't be computerized and will remain in the domain of human workers. The paradox of robotic progress. Another important area where we see a rapid acceleration in digital improvement is robotics, building machines that can navigate through and interact with the physical world of factories, warehouses, battlefields, and offices. Here again, we see progress that was very gradual, then sudden. Robots are not just lab demos. They're showing off their skills and abilities in the messy real world. They contribute to the impression that we're at an inflection point, a bend in the curve where many technologies that used to be found only in science fiction are becoming everyday reality. It's the dawn of the second machine age. To understand why it's unfolding now, we need to understand the nature of technological progress in the era of digital hardware, software, and networks. In particular, we need to understand its three key characteristics. That is, exponential, digital, and combinatorial. Computing bounty and productivity growth. Overall living standards have increased enormously worldwide. In the United States, the rate of GDP growth per person has averaged 1.9% per year going back to the early 1800s. Applying the rule of 70, the time to double a value is roughly equal to 70 divided by its growth rate, we see that this was enough to double living standards every 36 years, quadrupling them over the course of a typical timeline. But what drives increases in GDP per person? Part of it comes from using more resources. but most of it comes from increasing our ability to get more output from the given level of inputs. In other words, increases in productivity. In turn, productivity growth comes from innovations in technology and techniques of production. The explanation for this productivity surge is in the advancements of computing in the second machine age. The benefits of electrification stretched for nearly a century as more and more complementary innovations were implemented. The digital computing of the second machine age is no less profound. Like the steam engine or electricity, second machine age technologies continue to improve at a remarkably rapid exponential pace, replicating their power with digital perfection and creating even more opportunities for combinatorial innovation. The path won't be smooth. For one thing, we haven't banished the business cycle, but the fundamentals are in place for bounty that vastly exceeds anything we've ever seen before. The spread. In almost every industry, technological progress will bring unprecedented bounty. More wealth will be created with less work. But at least in our current economic system, this progress will also have enormous effects on the distribution of income and wealth. If the work a person produces in 1 hour can instead be produced by a machine for $1, then a profits-maximizing employer won't offer a wage for that job of more than $1. In a free market system, either that worker must accept a wage of $1 an hour or find some new way to make a living. Conversely, if a person finds a new way to leverage insights, talents, or skills across 1 million new customers using digital technologies, then he or she might earn 1 million times as much as would be possible otherwise. Bounty and spread, two consequences of the second machine age. This combination of bounty and spread is not a coincidence. Advances in technology, especially digital technologies, are driving an unprecedented reallocation of wealth and income. Digital technologies can replicate valuable ideas, insights, and innovations at a very low cost. This creates bounty for society and wealth for innovators, but diminishes the demand for previously important types of labor, which can leave many people with reduced incomes. The combination of bounty and spread challenges two common, though contradictory, worldviews. A common view is that advances in technology always boost income. The other is that automation hurts workers' wages as people are replaced by machines. Both of these have a kernel of truth, but the reality is more subtle. Rapid advances in our digital tools are creating unprecedented wealth, but there is no economic law that says all workers, or even a majority of workers, will benefit from these advances. Technology in the future. Our success will depend not just on our technological choices, or even on the co-invention of new organizations and institutions. In a second machine age, we need to think much more deeply about what it is we really want, and what we value, both as individuals and as a society. Our generation has inherited more opportunities to transform the world than any other. That's a cause for optimism, but only if we're mindful of our choices.